Welcome to Speaking Out for the Blind here on ACB Radio, where your listening is our business. I'm Brian McKellen. This show airs every Wednesday at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. Today's guest is Shirley Manning. Shirley Manning is legally blind. She currently runs Camp Bloomfield in Malibu, California, throughout the summers. Camp Bloomfield provides blind children with a safe environment to build independence, develop self-esteem, and fully experience the great outdoors. Shirley also directs a program called Visions, Adventures in Learning. This program gives visually impaired teens empowering recreational opportunities through three-day learning adventures. Prior to these two roles, Shirley Manning taught in, then directed, Junior Blind's Davidson program for independence. Shirley Manning joins us to talk about life without sight and her recreational journey. She'll also talk about Junior Blind's various recreational programs. Let's welcome Shirley Manning to the show.
Hello, Brian.
Shirley, let's first talk about your blindness. The Los Angeles Times that you've been blind since birth. How did you become blind?
I have a congenital condition. It's retinitis pigmentosa, but I have a rare form of that that starts pre-birth. And instead of creating tunnel vision, it does the opposite. And I now have about 3%, and it's all in the periphery.
So let's talk about your passions in communications and recreation. What inspired you to work in these two fields?
Well, it started by accident. I ended up in communications as a major because my first choice of majors didn't work out the way I thought it was going to. And while pursuing my degree, I did some climbing in a national park and fell in love with the national park system and the environmental emphasis there, and changed my focus to communications with the hopes of becoming someone in PR or along those lines, either within the field of science or within the field of environmental education.
I learned from reading your LinkedIn page and one of your colleagues, Richard Rueda, who's Junior Blind's Director of Transition Services, and he was a former guest on the show too, that you used to work as a state park interpretive ranger for the state of California's Department of Parks and Recreation from 1989 to 1991. What were some of your duties as a state park interpretive ranger, and what did you enjoy most about this job?
I was a person who researched and then presented the information about the park's resources to the public, both in written and oral form. So a lot of what I did was interacting with the park's visitors. It was an amazing position to be in. They closed the park for construction for quite a while in those 3 years. And so I went to the surrounding school districts that actually touched the edge of our state park, and did environmental education in the classrooms. And so I was able to take all of that research and the resources out to the kids and provide age-appropriate topics and information to the kids in their classrooms. That was amazing.
You worked at Chino Hills State Park. You researched and presented information on the park's historic, natural, and cultural resources for public in written and oral presentations. How did you conduct these presentations as a blind park interpreter?
Yeah, well, a lot of the research was given to me in printed form, and so I did a lot of reading with a CCTV. Back in those days, it was a little different than it is now, which is nice. I like what they have now. But there were also some resources online, but nowhere near what we have access to today. I also had an amazing set of support people around me within the park district. So that was really helpful too. The my travels were all by bus, and so I used to wear my cute little ranger hat and in my uniform, and I took my guitar and traveled on the bus and carried a bag full of goodies, depending on what the topic was for the age group, and went to the various schools and presented, usually to many classrooms within a school. That's usually how the teachers arranged it.
You got your Bachelor's of Science in Communications with a specialty in Organizational Communications. You got cum laude for this degree at Cal Poly Pomona in 1989. How did the program help you speak out about your abilities to work in these future careers, recreationally and in terms of communications, too?
Well, the ability to communicate effectively is a huge part of almost any work that you do, whether it's public speaking or writing clearly and succinctly. All of those skills will serve a person well in just about any field that they choose to get into. It's one of the reasons that I went for that degree. It was broad enough that I had several choices I wanted to look at. We'll get into that a little later in the interview, I think. But the ability to communicate effectively is a skill that will serve a person well in almost any field.
Quickly, what were those choices?
I started back to college as a physics major. My father was a physicist, my stepfather. It was fascinating to me. Back in that time, Carl Sagan's Cosmos had just been on the air, and I was really into all of that. My stepfather actually helped me through quite a bit of the coursework the first 2 years I was a physics major. But I ran into challenges with being accurate with the math skills that were necessary. Math is one of your major tool sets as a scientist or a physicist, and I just couldn't be accurate enough no matter how slowly and carefully I went, and so I decided to change my major because of that. My original hope was to go work for Caltech as a PR person or NASA or JPL or something.
Gosh, Cosmos, that was a big show for PBS.
Yes.
Way back in the early 80s.
Yes,
that was before Carl Sagan did the movie Contact, and they just recently this year had a new version of Cosmos on Fox,
mm-hmm.
on all the Fox networks, in fact.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a big hit. It really just took you out into space and explored the future of space. Now back to your experience working at Junior Blind of America. You came there in 1999. You were an adaptive technology instructor. What did you do in this role?
Well, not what I would be expected to do today. I couldn't do that today. Back then, we were teaching Lotus, DBase, WordPerfect, and DOS, which dates me. But I was, along with, there were several kinds of access technology. Back then, I was using large print myself, but I also taught text-to-speech software use. As time went on, I switched to primarily text-to-speech, and now that's my sole access. But that's what I was doing.
Yes, the screen readers. In 2001, you became the director of Junior Blind's Davidson Program for Independence. How did you speak out to work here, and what were some of your typical duties?
Yeah, well, I started as a teacher in a classroom and then was transitioned fairly quickly into part-time administrative and then into an interim position as administrative, and then I was asked to take the full-blown director's position as time went on. So it was kind of a gradual transition into an administrative position from the teaching position. They approached me, so that worked well.
In 2013, you became Junior Blind of America's Director of Recreation and the summer director of Camp Bloomfield. First off, what's Camp Bloomfield?
Camp Bloomfield is 45 acres in Malibu, California, just up the coast from Pacific Coast Highway. If anyone knows where Leo Carrillo State Park and Beach are, it's just up the canyon from there, just under 3 miles from the coast. It's in a canyon where there's oak and sycamore, and we've got, there are 12 cabins. There's Girls Town and Boys Town, 6 cabins in each. We provide activities such as horseback riding, climbing rope, climbing wall and high ropes course, nature. We're looking at bringing back fishing. We weren't able to do that this last summer. Music, sports, arts and crafts, archery, swimming, hiking. And then we have a lot of various special events. We go deep sea fishing with some of the older kids. We have a golf clinic with the Navy Golf Course in Long Beach. We have a Paralympic sports exploration session where kids get to experience the wide range of Paralympic sports and other adapted sports that maybe aren't Paralympic, but they're adapted for people who are blind and visually impaired. This coming summer, we're doing a music and technology session where kids are going to get to build their own docking station for their electronic gizmos. There's age bracketed sessions, so you attend camp with kids of your own age, and then we have family camp sessions where the whole family can attend camp for 4 or 5 days with the child who's blind or visually impaired. That's Camp Bloomfield.
And there's another camp like Camp Bloomfield called Enchanted Hills.
Yes,
it's in Napa. And I was a former camper there.
Okay.
I remember there going there a few summers. They had a pool. I went swimming in it. And we also did a little boating. I remember we used to do these little bumper boats things, like the bumper cars. And then we did a lot of horseback riding, too. And when you went to Camp Bloomfield as a child, you did some horseback riding there, too. Tell us more about this and some of the other experiences that you had at the camp, just as a child.
I think one of the most important things I learned while attending Camp Bloomfield and the other programs that Junior Blind offered when I was a little girl was to question what society might try to tell me I can or cannot do. Society has a pretty dim view of what life is for those of us who are visually impaired, and the reality is not that at all. And so I learned through my experiences with Junior Blind's programs to question. And so when my Girl Scout leader told me I couldn't go hiking with my troop, I'd have to come in with my mom in the car, I told her that I could too hike, and I hiked all the time, and I hiked at Camp Bloomfield. And so she let me try. She started the first 15 minutes or so of the hike right next to me, but I guess she decided it would be okay. We were on a fire road. We weren't even on a trail. So, but it taught me to question. It also taught me that there was very little I really couldn't do outside of some pretty hard and fast can't do it, like drive on a regular basis. There aren't very many of those. So I developed a pretty solid sense of who I was and what I could and could not do. And that has served me well throughout.
Camp Bloomfield helps the blind and visually impaired children build the independence, develop the self-esteem, and fully experience the great outdoors. I even mentioned this in the intro.
Mm-hmm.
How does Camp Bloomfield offer these benefits, to their young participants today?
There is no better teacher than having a peer say, "You ran into me again, use your cane." When that comes from an adult, it's just another, "You gotta do it, blah, 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 blah." But when your friend in your cabin is saying, "You did it again, use your cane, you're not using your cane, where's your cane?" We encourage the kids to travel independently in camp to the best that they're able. They are expected to the best that they're able to keep track of their own belongings, to make their bed or their sleeping bag tidy up, hang their towel, bring their belongings back out of the bathrooms in the cabin so that the next person can make use of the small spaces that are available in there. The child learns a lot about keeping track of their own things, respecting other people's need for space and privacy, and being a part of the team. There's cabin cleanup, so they get to scrub sinks and floors and toilets and all of that good stuff and showers. So they're learning skills and they're learning to work together. They're also learning with peers who are also blind and visually impaired. And so some of the tried and true excuses of, well, I can't see it, don't work very well. And we do hire many counselors and counselors in training who are also blind and visually impaired. So sometimes it's the counselor who is also visually impaired saying, oh, yes, you can, which is hugely helpful.
How did you speak out to get the job and move from being in assistive technology to becoming the Camp Bloomfield summer director and ultimately the director of recreation?
Well, I was a program director already as director of the Davidson Program for Independence. And when the camp or the recreation director position became open, I didn't consider it because I knew in the past that position incorporated things like driving a bus, which I totally can't do, Google notwithstanding. And there were other things such as monitoring safety within the camp. I knew that would be a concern. I was approached by the executive team to consider the position. We talked about some of my concerns, some of their concerns, and we found ways to see to those needs within the camp without my having to be the only person who provides it. I clearly can't drive a bus, but my assistant, Joshua Lucas, who has a master's in adaptive physical activity, he and I pair up, and he's the assistant camp director during the summer, and we monitor safety and the work of the activity leads during the summer. We do that as a team together, and so we've found ways to get around and adapt, and so it all worked well. And now I am the director of a program that I really believe in. I know the value of the programs that the Department of Recreation offers. And now I get to be a part of that, and it's really neat.
You oversee Junior Blind's Visions, Adventures, and Learning program, and that program provides the blind teens with life-changing, empowering recreational experiences through challenging and very exciting three-day learning adventures. Some of them include rock climbing Yosemite, hiking the Grand Canyon, snowboarding, and even whitewater rafting. How does the program teach the young participants to do these activities both fully and safely?
Some of it is collaborating with other agencies who provide adaptive opportunities. When we, for example, in November this month, we are taking a group of 20 kids down to San Diego Wild Animal Park, and we're going to be participating in Roar and Snore Sleepover. And last year we did this with the same agency, and they made an amazing program for our kids. It was they put a lot of thought into how to make their existing programming accessible to our kids. There was a lot of thought put into making things tactile. They brought out tusks that they had on hand, and pelts, lion pelts. They had a lion foot with the claws and the pad that the kids could explore to get a sense of the size of the animal. They had the two figures of lion and lioness, so the kids could get a real sense of the differences between the two. And then that night, we got to hear real lions roar, which is awesome. You feel it when they roar. It's just, I don't know how to explain it unless you've heard it yourself. It's pretty incredible. So that's our November trip. In January, we're going to Rawhide Ranch in Southern California, and the kids are going to be able to do some bareback riding on horses, vaulting, which is gymnastics on horseback. They get to take care of cows and pigs and chickens and goats and alpacas, which means raking up their pens and feeding a warm mash to the cows and getting up into their elbows in a warm mesh is a real experience. So that they get a full range of experiences from the ranch lifestyle. In February, we'll be skiing and snowshoeing in Big Bear with the assistance of United States Association of, United States Adaptive Recreational Center. They're based at Bear Mountain Resort, and they provide adaptive skiing opportunities for anyone with a disability. They do one-on-one ski instruction with our kids. And then in March, April, during spring break, we're going to be taking a group of 16 kids to do rock climbing in Joshua Tree National Park, and we're going to do hiking, and we'll do camp cooking. They'll get to set up and break down camp tents, and we'll do campfire programs and make s'mores.
How do our listeners sign up for any of Junior Blind's programs or even apply to volunteer or work there?
Our website, which is juniorblind.org, and you have to spell junior out, you can't cheat. Long around January, February, the forms for applying as a camp counselor or camp activity leader will be posted. And we begin the hiring process then. We don't hire until a few months later, but we start to gather applications from people who are interested. Also, each of the programs, both Camp Bloomfield and Visions Adventures in Learning, the schedules and the forms for applying and the instructions for applying are available there. The other way to do it is to simply call Junior Blind and ask for Shirley Manning or Joshua Lucas, and we'd be happy to take people through that process.
What advice do you have for our listeners who want to work in recreation, communications, or administrative positions?
Get your education. And the bottom line with becoming employed is having skills that someone needs and is willing to pay you for. And so you've got to get the skills. So the trick is to find something you really enjoy and have a passion for doing, and find a way to turn that into something that someone needs and wants to pay you for.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
No, I think that does. We do have, within the recreation department here, we have two carnivals. One we just had, which is our Halloween carnival in December sometime. The date is not yet set. We will have a holiday carnival. It's on a Saturday, and it's free and open to the our families and the children who are blind and visually impaired. And then in May, we have the Junior Blind Olympics, which is a one-day competitive event where kids are able to compete with their own age group within a wide range of sports. We even construct a climbing wall here on our campus. There's rowing, there's track and field, there's judo, tandem bicycling, all of the archery, all of those sports are available on our campus for that entire day, and it's open to the entire family.
Shirley, you're truly an inspiration to our listeners who want to pursue recreational careers. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Brian. It's been a pleasure.
Before we go, let me give our listeners a quick reminder. I welcome comments and suggestions on today's episode and past and future shows. Just visit and like me on Facebook at Speaking Out for the Blind, or follow me on Twitter at Speak Out Blind. That's all for this edition of Speaking Out for the Blind. Thanks for listening, and remember to speak out.
Hi, this is Rick Morin, the co-host of The Yin Yang Show, along with my good friend Brian Charlson. The Yin Yang Show can be heard every Thursday here on ACB Radio Interactive. For those of you in Boston, like we are, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday evening. Now, what do we do in The Yin Yang Show? Well, we play music, and the songs that we play in yin yang pairs. When we play a yin, the song will have a certain word in the title or a certain meaning, and then the yang will have an opposite word or an opposite meaning, we want you to be a big part of the show also. You'll get to make requests and complete our yin-yang pairs. You could even call us and we'll put you on the air. So tell you what, why don't you tune in Thursday from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and before long, you'll get the yang of it.